الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In anything that we do in our lives, one of the key goals is that we seek success. And there are certain components to that success that we have to bear in mind, because if we don't have these components in our methodology, we're very unlikely to succeed. And so whether it be an action of the deen or whether it be an action of the dunya, these components are necessary in order to achieve success. I'll just give you one example. This thing's not working. So I was saying that in order for an individual to succeed in any action that they undertake, whether it be in the dunya or whether it be in the deen, there are certain essential components to success. One of the essential components to the success in any endeavor is that we have preparation. Anytime you want to succeed in something, if you prepare yourself for that thing, you're much more likely to succeed in that particular action. I'll just give you a very simple example. You know, if you have a test coming up in a couple of days, there's two ways that you can go about handling that test. You can simply take the test. You just walk in on the day of the test and you take the test and you'll get a certain result. Or you can prepare yourself. And everybody knows, every sensible student knows that you have to prepare yourself. And if you don't prepare yourself, you're not going to do well. Now, for those people that are studious and those people that study and those people that take school seriously, it would not even come to your mind that you shouldn't prepare. I mean, there's no way you would go into a test without having even read one page. But believe it or not, there are students who, when there's an exam, they walk into that exam without having prepared a single thing. And you can ask teachers, if you ask a high school teacher, they'll tell you that I have some students, they don't even open the book the whole year. But they walk into class and they take the tests and they expect that they're just going to be able to survive. And then there's another group of students, they prepare, they study, they get themselves ready for the exam, and when it comes time for the exam, they're able to succeed. So this is just a very simple example. I mean, another example, I was speaking to a brother and he was talking about the fact that he likes to cook. So he was telling me about, I said, okay, so you like to cook. Tell me, you know, what are the things you cook? He said, oh, I cook Indian food. I cook Chinese food. I cook this food and that food. He said, you know, one day I have to invite you over to have Chinese food at my house. I said, well, you know, why don't you? So then there was another person sitting there. He said, why don't you just have a party and invite all of us over? Why don't you just invite him over for Chinese food? He said, oh, no, 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 the secret to Chinese food, you can't have Chinese food for a big, large number of people. The secret to Chinese food, you have to prepare. You have to prepare everything in advance, and you can only cook small portions. You can't make it for 50, 60 people. You have to make it for 5 people, but everything has to be prepared. So he was telling me that the secret to cooking this Chinese food is actually preparing oneself. In so many things, I mean, for example, if you want to have a wedding, when a person has a wedding, when you arrange a wedding, you have to prepare for the wedding months and months in advance. There are people, you know, alhamdulillah, even in this day and age, that they decide they want to get married and they come to the masjid an hour later and they get married. But most people, when they want to have a wedding or get married, they plan many, many months in advance. They say that this is going to happen once in my life. And this is an opportunity for festivity. This is an opportunity to gather together family. You don't get these opportunities very often, especially in the busy life that we lead. They spend months and months and months preparing for the event. These are examples of the dunya. The examples of the deen are the exact same way. If you prepare for events in the deen, then and only then will you be able to take advantage of them. For example, we know that the foundation of salah is tahara. So the foundation of salah is tahara. Now, you can take a step back. Salah is an amazing opportunity. It's the ascension of the believer, the mi'raj of the believer. It's the opportunity for the believer to be able to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that no other action can bring them close to Allah. Now, there's two ways to approach salah. One way, the way that the person who doesn't care anything about their grades, you just simply show up. Okay, it's time for, you know, I'm doing whatever I'm doing, and the salah time comes, my mind is in 30 other things, I just quickly drop those, quickly pray, and quickly go back to what I was doing. That's one way to approach salah. And the example of that is the example of the person who shows up to class without ever even having opened the textbook. Just simply shows up, thinking that because I'm here, I should pass. So because I showed up for salah, I should pass. And that's one way to approach it. And the other way to approach it is that the person takes time. They recognize that salah is an important component of our deen. It's an opportunity of a lifetime to be able to approach Allah, to be able to interact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very special way. So they prepare for it. They prepare in advance for it. They await it. You know, they recognize, my salah is coming up at, you know, 8:30. So, a half hour before, they're thinking, I gotta get to salah. A half hour before, they're preparing themselves, they make wudu before they come for salah. They start planning, okay, I mean, how many times has a person planned which surahs they're gonna recite in their salah? Has anybody ever thought about, you know, I'm about to enter to salah in 15 minutes, let me think about the surahs that I'm going to recite when I'm going to be praying salah. So this is a simple example. How can we know for a fact that if a person does not prepare for an exam, there's no way they're going to do well, yet we can enter into salah thinking that we don't have to prepare at all? When it comes to matters of the dunya, we always prepare ourselves. And we look down upon those people that don't prepare. If there's some kid in your class and he never studies, you expect him to fail. You don't pay any attention to him. So, how can we, if we look at that aspect of our life, it's not working, it's okay. How can we, if we look at that aspect of our life, think that we can just show up to salah and without having prepared, expect to be able to maximize on the experience? Now, the power of salah is such that even if a person doesn't prepare and they simply show up, it is enough to be able to create forgiveness. It is enough to be able to approach Allah. But why wouldn't we, if we are people of seriousness, we're people striving in the deen, if we claim ourselves to be those people that are in the forefront of pursuing the deen, why wouldn't we be among those who prepare for salah? So we should seriously think about what we're doing when we perform acts in the deen. And especially if we prepare ourselves in acts of this world. If we're the type of people that prepare for any event, then we should be preparing for events of our deen as well. Now you can take this one step further. Then you can say, when you prepare for an event, you prepare for the event to the extent that the event matters. Right? So, if there's a quiz, and you have to take the quiz the next day, you're barely going to prepare. You say, this is just a quiz. It's 5% of my grade. So you spend a few hours at night and you prepare, you study. Then you take the quiz the next day. If it's a test, you spend a couple days preparing. Why? Because the test is a little more weighty. If it's a final exam, you spend a week studying. Because the final exam is even more weighty. If it's a board exam, person's taking a medical board exam, or they're taking some really serious exam that's going to have major repercussions on what they can do with themselves, they'll study for months. You know, when I interact with the medical students and I'm seeing how they're studying for their board exams, they study 6 months in advance. And even if they're not studying, they've prepared themselves. They go out, they buy all the books, they ask their friends, they're planning, they're plotting, they're thinking, this is going to be my schedule, this is what I need to do, this is what I need to make sure. They eliminate all sources of distraction months beforehand. If they have their exam scheduled in June, they eliminate all distractions by April. They get rid of everything. They tell their friends, we don't have time, we'll talk to you after the exam. They pay off all their bills. They make sure there's no headaches to have to worry about. And then they begin to focus on what they have to do. Why? Because they know that the repercussions of that event are so severe that if they don't prepare themselves and they don't do well, they're going to have difficulty moving forward. The same aspect for people of the deen. People who are striving in the deen, they have that same notion. They look at the event, and based on the event, they prepare themselves to a certain extent. Now, prayer is a daily event. It's an amazing event, but it's a daily event, and it comes 5 times a day. So there's a limited amount that you could prepare. I mean, if you wanted to prepare for Isha right now, you only have a limited time that you could prepare. But there are some very special events that occur very rarely, and those are events that should change the mechanism should change the schedules that we have, should change the way that we prepare ourselves. For example, how many people have thought about the fact that in less than 7 weeks, Ramadan will begin? I mean, have we thought about that? You know, the month of Rajab just came in a couple days ago. So the month of Rajab heralds the fact that Ramadan is just 2 months away. And it's such a major event. It's a once-in-a-lifetime, you know, opportunity. Yes, it comes several times in our life, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to free ourselves from hellfire, to put ourselves back into Jannah, to reconnect with Allah, to attain Allah's forgiveness. How many of us have prepared? And how many of us show up on the first day of Ramadan, you know, never having opened the textbook? Just Ramadan hits up. You know, there's two things. Ramadan can hit you, or you can approach Ramadan. Right? Ramadan approaches us. We're running the other way. Ramadan grabs us by our neck and brings us into it. But how many people are there that actually approach Ramadan? They plan, they prepare, they begin to increase their fasting before the month begins, they begin to increase their recitation of Quran before the month begins, they begin to increase their time in the masjid before the month begins, they increase the sadaqah that they give before the month begins. How many people are there out there like that? Very few and far between. But those are the people who are the wise ones, because they prepare themselves well in advance to take advantage of this very unique opportunity. So we should think about our deen. We should think about our deen in this way, that what are the opportunities that Allah has provided for us, and how can we prepare ourselves for them? Salah, and one of the greatest preparations is tahara. We know that from hadith, tahara is the foundation of salah. The more you take care of tahara, the greater the salah will be. Beyond that, we know that in the month of Ramadan, the Sahaba used to prepare weeks in advance. The Prophet ﷺ used to remind them that the month of Ramadan was coming. They used to fast, get themselves ready, to be able to take full advantage of the month. They used to enter the month in fifth gear. When you enter the month in fifth gear, what does that mean? That means that every day of the month you're able to take advantage of it. And when you get towards the end of the month, you're in a new state of iman. And most of us, we get hit by Ramadan. It takes us 10 days just to figure out that we're in Ramadan. It takes us another 10 days to get used to the schedule of Ramadan. And when we're finally ready to take advantage of the month, it's basically ready to leave. We won't be able to maximize on our opportunity if we don't prepare for it in advance. We should think now. There's an opportunity to do i'tikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan. How can I make sure that I have those days off? We should think now that, okay, I've got to get myself into the habit of fasting. How am I going to do that? Maybe I should start fasting Mondays and Thursdays. Maybe I should fast 3 days of the month, etc. These small acts of preparation will take us a very long way. Small acts of preparation take a person a very long way. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among those who prepare for acts of our deen, and may He make us among those who are able to maximize on the incredible opportunities that He provides. Amen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.